Today's lesson is Perek Chav Beis, Mehilchas Ishus, Chapter 22 of the Laws Concerning Marriage, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph 1. Habal Kodem L'chol Adam B'Yerushas Ishto. The husband has precedence over all other people as far as the inheritance of his wife is concerned. U'me'emasa Yiska B'Yerushasa. At what time does the husband have the rights and is entitled to inherit her? That means when and how early in the marriage is the husband entitled to inherit his wife? Mishutetze mirshus ha'av. V'afal pi she'adayin lo nichnasa l'chupa. Once she leaves her father's jurisdiction, even though she has not yet entered into the chupa. The chupa refers to the husband taking her into his own house and secluding himself with her. At that point, she's called a nesua. That is the second stage of marriage. Now, the first stage of marriage is when he gives her the ring or the other article of value. At that point, he doesn't yet inherit her. But the time that he's allowed to inherit her is at the point when the father gives the daughter over to the husband, as the Rambam will soon explain. Hol v'nasis b'shus b'ayla yirushana. Since she is now under the jurisdiction of her husband, therefore he has the right to inherit her. And the Rambam now describes what exactly has to happen in order for this to be true. Halacha beis, ketzad, how so? Ha'isha shenasarsa, u'mesara aviha labayla, o l'shluchi bayla, a woman that was betrothed, and the father hands her over to the husband, or to the shluchim, the agents of her husband. O mesaruha, shluchi ha'av, labayla, o l'shluchav. Or if the father's agents handed her over to the husband or to his agents. Umesa, baderech, kodem shetikanes l'chupa, and she dies on the way before she enters into the chupa. Avo pishe ksubasa adayim bebeis aviha, baila yarsha. Even if her ksuba is still in her father's house, this term ksuba over here refers to the movable objects that the father designated for her dowry. Even if it is still in the house of her father, nevertheless, the husband will still inherit her. V'chein im halach ha'av, o shlicha ha'av, im ha'bal, v'nichas im ha'bayla baderech l'chatzer, v'nisyachar im ha'sham, l'shem nisuyin, u'meisa, ha'reza yirushan ha'bayla. The same law would apply also if the father or the father's agents were walking together with the husband, and of course the wife, and then the husband enters with her on the way, as they're traveling, into a private courtyard, and he is isolated with her. They're there alone, and they do this with the intent that this should constitute the wedding, the marriage. And then she dies, then her husband will also inherit her, even though the father didn't give her over officially to the husband. Once they are alone for the purpose of nisuyin, for marriage, then she is automatically under the jurisdiction of her husband, and the husband will inherit her. Avul imadayin ha'avim ha'bal. However, the Rambam continues, if the father is together with a husband, as they are escorting the wife to the house of her husband, or if the agents of the father are going together with the agents of the husband, or with the husband himself, in this case, even if the husband enters into a courtyard to sleep overnight, they go into a hotel, as the custom is when people travel, they stay overnight in one inn, but since the father or his agents are with her, and they were not isolated, secluded, alone, together, for the purpose and with the intent of marriage, in that case, if she dies, the father will inherit her, even though the ksuba is in the house of the husband, even though the dowry was already delivered to the house of the husband. Halacha gimel, v'cheinim ha'isa bogeres, o yisom o almana. The same would be true if she was of age, 12 and a half, or she was an orphan, or she was a widow, even if she was a minor. In this case, she was no longer in her father's possession, because once a girl becomes of age, that's 12 and a half, or if she doesn't have a father and she's a minor, or if she has a father and he married her off and then she's a widow, she's no longer in her father's jurisdiction.
And
Ein habal yerushosa. Now she went by herself from her father's house to the house of her husband. Now her husband is not with her, neither are his agents with her. And then she dies as she is traveling. Her husband does not inherit her. Halacha dalet, paragraph 4. Hanosi isha shehi asura lo hoil v'yesh lo b'kiddushin imesa tachtav yerushana. One who marries a woman, who weds a woman, and this woman is forbidden to him, such as those prohibitions that were mentioned earlier that carry with them a negative violation of the Torah. Now, since the marriage does take effect in these cases, because only when the prohibition is considered to be an erva, that means the punishment for this union would be kares, excision, then the marriage would have no effect whatsoever. There's not even a need for a divorce. But if it's anything less serious than that, the law is that the marriage does take effect, even though it's forbidden. And in this case, imeisa tachtav yerushana, if she dies while she's still married to him, he does inherit her. The reason is because since the marriage took effect, even though it was against the law to be married, but they were still nevertheless considered legally married. Therefore, the law of inheritance, the husband inherits the wife, would apply here as well. Aval hapikeach shenasa chereshes imeisa lo yerushana. However, if a healthy person marries a deaf mute, if she dies, the husband does not inherit her. And the reason for this is that this type of marriage is only valid rabbinically, but it's not biblically valid. However, if a deaf mute marries a healthy woman and then she dies, he inherits her. What is the difference between this and the previous case? Sharehi bazdas, because she has intelligence. L'daita niseis v'zichsa lo memona. Since she was of sound mind, she's a healthy person, and she married him with her consent, she wasn't forced into marrying him, that itself constitutes the act of giving him title to her money. She is healthy, and the fact that she's marrying him, she's saying to him, I want you to acquire my money. Halacha hei. Paragraph 5. Ketana sheniskacha ludasa viha, v'nisei shelo ludasa viha. Bein befanov, bein shelo befanov, if a minor was betrothed with her father's consent, and then she weds, she goes through the second stage of marriage, without her father's consent, whether it's done in his presence, whether it's done not in his presence. She went to another city. Yochel ha'av limchos kamosha bi'arnu. The father has the right to protest this wedding, just as we have explained earlier. Ve'afilu shasa ka'av, and even if the father is silent, he does not protest. Im mesa ein habal yarsha, el im kein rotza ha'av b'nisueha. If she dies, the husband does not inherit her unless the father consented to the wedding. Of course, in her lifetime, if the father expressed his willingness to accept this marriage, this wedding, then the husband has the right to inherit her. Otherwise, the marriage, even though they're betrothed, because the father consented to that, the second stage of marriage does not take effect. And therefore, the husband is not entitled to her estate. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. The Gaonim, the post-Talmudic authorities, gave the following ruling. A woman who becomes ill, and she asks her husband for a divorce, and she's going to be divorced, and she's not entitled to her ksuba because she's asking for the divorce, but the reason that she asks for the divorce, she does not want her husband to inherit her. She's willing to waive and forego the amount of money that she's entitled to as a result of her divorce in order to protect her property, that it should go to her heirs instead of going to her husband. Ein shomin lo, we pay no attention to her request. V'afilu amra, ani sona oso, v'eini rotza lamud imo, ein shomin lo. And even if she says, I despise this man, I don't want to stay with him, we still don't pay any attention to what she says. V'ein donen osa kedin moredes, and we don't judge her as we would judge a woman who is rebelling against her husband either, in which case we force the husband to give her a divorce, to grant her a divorce immediately. And in this case, she would not get the divorce because it's obvious that she only wants a divorce to prevent him from inheriting her. This is the ruling of the Gaonim, and the Rambam concurs with this view by saying, "Bedin yafeh hu zeh." This is a fine ruling. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Kol nechasim sheyesh leisha, bein nichsitzon barzel, bein nichsei melug, habal ochel kol perusayim b'chayeha. All of the property that a woman possesses, whether they are the iron sheep property, or whether it is the milug property, the husband has the right to eat all of the fruits and the profits of these properties while his wife is alive. We already explained earlier that there are two types of property that a wife brings into the marriage. The iron sheep property is a type of property that the husband is going to manage, and if anything happens to it, it's the husband's responsibility. So if it depreciates in value, he has to make up the difference. If it appreciates, on the other hand, he gets the profit. But she is always guaranteed to get her property back at the end of the marriage, just as she brought it to the husband. On the other hand, nichsi melug, which means the profits that he plucks from her estate, he doesn't take any responsibility for, and if anything happens to it, then it's her loss rather than his loss. But in either case, he has the right to enjoy the profits of this estate. If it's a house, he can collect the rent, and so on and so forth. Now, the imeis of the chayi baila, yorish baila hako. In either of these cases, if the wife dies while her husband is still alive, the husband inherits it all. Fichach imachar ha'isha nichsim melug achash niseis afu pisha osam hanachasim nafula kodem shetisareis habal motzi haperos miyad halakuchos kol yemechayeha. Therefore, the Rambam says, if the wife sells the nichsim melug, the estate that he has a right to take and enjoy the fruits of it, after they were wed, even though these properties she inherited before she was betrothed, the husband has a right to extract the profits, the fruits, from the purchasers as long as she's still alive, because she had no right to sell the fruits. She can sell the estate, the principal, because that's hers, but she cannot sell the fruits. Avlo gufa karka, she'ein lo klum beguf nichsim elug achatamus. However, he cannot take away the principal, the real estate itself, because he has no ownership whatsoever in the estate itself until she dies. Then he inherits her, but as long as she's alive, he only has a right to the profits. And if the husband shall die in her lifetime, then the purchasers keep everything, obviously. If the wife then dies while he's still alive, then he can take the estate itself from the purchasers, and he doesn't have to reimburse them. Because the husband is also considered a purchaser from his wife, and why should the other purchasers have the claim to the property ahead of him? He is the first purchaser, and therefore he has a right to take it all. Now, the Rambam here is discussing only nichsei melug, that type of property where he does not take responsibility to make sure that it remains intact. What about the law of the iron sheep property? The Rambam will explain it later in paragraph 15. The im hadamim shalakha miyad halakuchas kayamim ba'atzman, machzirum lo lakuchos, ve'ena yachaloma shema metziyahem. Now, if the very same monies that the wife had received from the purchaser are still available, then he must return them to the purchasers, and he may not claim, perhaps these are found monies, maybe this was from another source. If the money is available, he has to give it back to the purchasers. It's only if the money is not available that he doesn't have to compensate them. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. When does the foregoing apply? What kind of property are we talking about? We're talking about property known to the husband. That means the husband anticipated receiving this property as part of the marriage agreement. However, if she inherited property in another country and the husband never knew about them, and then she sold them, the sale is 100% valid, and of course the husband cannot take anything from the purchasers. The same would be true if a betrothed woman sold her estate before the wedding. The sale is valid. For the husband has absolutely no right to the properties of his betrothed wife until he weds her. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Ha'isha shekosva kol nichaseha la'acher bein karav bein rachok kodem shetinasei. If a woman, before her marriage, that is the second stage of marriage, assigns all her property in writing to another person, whether it's a relative or a stranger, aval pish, imin is garsha, onas almana, tibatul hamatana, kamoshi is bar behilchas matana, Ein habal ochel perseim. Even though, in case of divorce or widowhood, the gift would become null and void, as will be explained in the laws concerning gifts, nevertheless, the husband is not entitled to the income from this gift. The reason why, if she becomes a widow or she's divorced, the gift would become null and void is explained that we understand that the reason that she gave the gift was not out of the goodness of her heart, but rather to prevent her husband from inheriting her. And after she'll get rid of her husband or something, she'll get the gift back from these people. That was the understanding. That's why we don't consider the gift to be valid if she's divorced or her husband dies. But nevertheless, the husband does not have the right to eat the fruits of this type of estate. Furthermore, v'im meisa b'chayai, eina yarsham, shaharinasna osam kodem shetinase. If she dies during her husband's lifetime, he doesn't inherit this property, since she had given it away before marriage. So this is considered to be like properties that the husband never knew about, which he is not entitled to, because the husband thought it was a real, full-fledged, valid gift. So when the husband had wed her, he did not anticipate getting this type of estate. That's why he doesn't inherit her. However, if she dies while her husband is still alive, then the recipient of the gift will acquire his gift in the most complete way. That means he will acquire full possession of this gift. And the Rambam adds to this, V'lo od, not only this, El afilu nasna mixas nechaseha, O kulam kodem nesueha, V'kosvul amakabel, K'nei mehayom, V'lech she'erze, Shehare lekona kinyin gomer achetirze, Ein habal ocha peres osa hamatana, V'imesa ein ayarsha. Even if she gives away part or all of her property before her marriage, but writes for the recipient the following, you are to acquire title to this as of today, provided that I confirm the gift at some future date. Now, in this case, the recipient does not acquire full title until she confirms it. And therefore, the husband is likewise not entitled to the income from this property. And if she dies, the husband does not inherit the property. In this case, the fact that she makes the gift contingent on whether she desires to give the gift or not later, even so, even though the recipients are not definitely going to get it, because if she says no, they won't get it, nevertheless, the husband does not expect and does not really anticipate getting this property, and therefore he's not entitled to eat the fruits from it, just as in the case of when the wife has property that was not known to the husband. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Shemeres Yavam, yesh lo limkar v'litin b'matana nechasim sh'naflu lo k'shehi shemeres Yavam. Ve'ein lo Yavam peiros, afilo b'nichsit zon barzel shehechnisa lo achiv ad sheyichnos. A Shemeres Yavam is a woman who is awaiting marriage by her brother-in-law. That is in the case when her husband dies and had not left any children. In that case, she is obligated to marry her husband's brother. That is called Yibum, and the brother-in-law is called a Yavam, and she is called a Shemeres Yavam as she is awaiting to be married by her brother-in-law. Now, a Shemeres Yavam has a right to sell or to give as a gift those properties that fell to her as she is awaiting marriage by her brother-in-law. And the brother-in-law does not have a right to the fruits, even if it's iron sheet property that she introduced to her brother. He still is not entitled to it until he consummates the marriage, until he weds her. Now, a betrothed woman is not allowed to sell the property before she is wed. But in this case, there is no guarantee that she is going to be wed, because there's another option. Instead of getting married to the brother-in-law, there is chalitza. That is why she is entitled to sell or give as a gift this property. Meisak shehisha meres yavam. What happens if she dies while she is awaiting to be wed by the brother-in-law? Yarsheha mi'aviha yarshin b'nichsei melukshala, v'chatzi nichsei tzom barzo, v'yarshe habal yarshin ksubasa, v'chatzi nichsei tzom barzo, v'yarshe habal chayavim b'kvurasa. Her heirs, on her father's side, inherit her melug property. That's the property that the husband does not take responsibility to preserve. And one half of her iron sheet property. That is inherited by the heirs on her father's side. Now the husband's heirs inherit her ksuba, and the other half of the iron sheet property. The husband's heirs are also obligated to provide her with proper burial. See, here there's a conflict between the brother-in-law, who's the heir of the deceased brother, because he claims that he's going to be marrying her, and therefore he's entitled to inheritance. And on the other hand, maybe he won't marry her, maybe he'll give her chalitza, in which case the other heirs claim that they have the right to inherit her. In this case, what do we do? Those properties that are called nichsi melug, that are in her possession, and totally, that if anything happens to it, she suffers the loss, and if they increase and appreciate, she gets the profit. Therefore, since they are altogether hers, the heirs from her father's side will inherit that part. The iron sheep property, on the other hand, we divide it up between the two of them, between the heirs of her, on her father's side and the heirs of her husband. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Shemeres Yavam, Ksubasa al kol nichse bailo. A woman who is awaiting to be married by the brother-in-law in the levirate marriage situation, her ksuba must come and can be collected from any of the properties of her deceased husband. All of his property is mortgaged for this purpose of her collecting her ksuba. The yavam, the brother-in-law, does not have to write her ksuba. Lefichach ein ha-yavam yachal limkar b'nichsei achiv bein kodem yibum bein achar yibum. Therefore, the lever, the brother-in-law, may not sell anything of his brother's estate, either before or after the levirate marriage, because part of the property is mortgaged to her for her ksuba. V'im machar anasim matana, al chalakim echav b'nichsei hameis, bein kodem yibum, bein achar yibum, lo asa klum, shekvar nischayvu nechasim elu la'amana, ligbos mehem ksubasa. And if the brother-in-law does sell, or gives as a gift, or divides with his brothers anything of the deceased brother's estate, before or after the levirate marriage, the act of sale or of the gift-giving is invalid, because this property has already become liable to the widow for the payment of her ksuba. She is entitled to collect her ksuba for any part of this property, therefore it cannot be sold. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Kanas es yivimto v'haniach achiv peiros mechubarim l'karka yumachru v'yilakach behem karka v'hayavim ochel peiroseyem. If the brother-in-law consummates his marriage, he fulfills the mitzvah of Yibum with his brother's widow, and if the late brother had left produce still attached to the ground, this produce should be sold and the proceeds used to purchase land, and the fruits of this land then belongs to the brother-in-law. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Haniach peros telushim in hakarka, v'chein im haniach maos umetaltalin, hakol shal yavam. If the deceased brother leaves fruits that are detached from the ground, so too if he leaves money or other movable objects, it all belongs to the brother-in-law. Umishtamish behem kamoshi yirtza ve'eino yecholo la'akev. Shem betaltlin ein aksuba nigmes behem, mehem, elu betakanas haga'onim. The brother-in-law is entitled to use all of these properties just as he wants, and she could not prevent him from doing so, because although we said before that the real estate, the land, he could not sell or do anything with it because it's all mortgaged for the purpose of her collecting her ksuba, that does not apply to movable objects. As the Rambam says, movable objects cannot be used for payment of the ksuba except by virtue of the enactment of the Geonim, the post-Talmudic sages. Ve'ein koach b'tekana zu l'mano m'nichsei achiv u'la'asum olav b'achraya zu shelo yisa v'yitein b'heim. This Gaonic enactment does not have sufficient force to deny the brother-in-law his brother's possessions and to make them forbidden to him, to the extent that he may not transact business with them because of this liability. It doesn't go that far, it doesn't have that power, and therefore he's allowed to do with this movable property as he pleases. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 14. Yevama shelo haisalok suba. If the sister-in-law, the widow, who's now expected to marry her brother-in-law, does not have a ksuba. For example, she was only betrothed to her husband, and at the time of betrothal, one does not write a ksuba yet, in which case she has nothing to collect. Osha machla ksubasa, or she had waived the rights to her ksuba. Zacha b'nichse achiv u'mocher v'nosen kechefzo. The brother-in-law then has the right to claim the properties of his deceased brother, and he could then sell the property, and he can give it as a gift as he pleases, because there's no mortgage on the property for her ksuba. Ukshi yichnas es yivimto, yichnas la ksuba meya, v'yiyu kol nechasav achrayin l'ksubasa, kishar kol hanashim sheyesh lahen ksuba. Now, once he weds her, and in this case, he would have to write her a new ksuba, because the ksuba of her husband never existed. So he writes her a ksuba of 100, not 200, because she's not a virgin. And all of his estate will then be liable for her ksuba. And this is the same rule that applies to all women who have a ksuba. Halacha Tezvav, 15. Ha'isha shamach oshanasna achashinisseis benichzitzon barzel bein l'acherim lo asasaklum. A woman who sells or gives as a gift after her wedding the iron sheep property, whether she sells it to her husband or to strangers, it is totally invalid. Because when she gives it to her husband, she can always argue, I just wanted to do this to make my husband feel good, but I didn't do it with a complete heart. And when she sells it or gives it to others, it certainly has no validity without the consent of her husband, because the husband now assumes responsibility for the property. If anything happens to it, he must pay for it, and if there is an appreciation and a profit, it is his profit. V'chein baal shemacha karka b'nichsi ishto, bein nichsi tzom barzel, bein nichsi melug, lo asa klum. Therefore, if the husband sells land forming part of his wife's property, whether it is iron sheep property or milug property, his act is also invalid. Neither she has the right to sell nichsei tzom barzel, the iron sheep property, nor does the husband have a right to sell any of the property of his wife, whether it's the iron sheep property, whether it's the other type of property that the husband is not responsible for. In either case, he cannot sell it. Lachat Hezayin, 16. Machar mitaltalin shel nichsei tzom barzel, af pi she'ein rishoy, imachar mimkare mimkar. If the husband sold iron sheep property, but movable iron sheep property, even though he is not permitted to do so, because in the event of divorce, she would then be able to collect them, and now that he sells it, she can't collect it. Nevertheless, if he sold movable iron sheep property, the sale is valid. Machar shneim b'nichsei milug, bein shelakach min ha'ish tchila. If both of them, husband and wife, sold the Meluk property, the property that belongs to the wife and she takes full responsibility for, whether the person purchased it from the husband first and then he then purchases it from the wife, whether the order was reversed, he first purchased it from the wife and then from the husband, the sale of these two people is valid, since both of them were involved in this sale. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. V'chein ha'isha shemachra onas nichsei melug lebailo mimkara umatnasa kayamin. Likewise, if a woman would sell or give as a gift her nichsei melug property to her husband, the sale and the gift are valid. V'eina yechola lomra b'nichsei melug nachas ruach asisi lebaili. And she can't use as an argument later on to rescind the sale or the gift, well, I was only doing this to provide my husband with some pleasure, but I didn't really mean to sell it to him or to give it to him. She can't say that. The reason why this is different from the case of the iron sheep property, where she could use that as an argument if she sells it or gives it to her husband, is based on the fact that nichsei tzom barzel, the iron sheep property, is not totally hers, because the husband has the right to the appreciation or the depreciation, in which case the wife might feel compelled to sell it to her husband, since her husband already has some rights to it, and therefore some degree of ownership to it, and therefore she might feel compelled to do it, even though she really doesn't want to. Whereas in the case of nichsei melug, they're totally hers, she wouldn't feel the husband would be upset if she wouldn't sell it to her husband. So therefore, if she nevertheless sells it to the husband or gives it to him, we assume that she really meant it, she was serious about it. However, with other properties, other than nichsei melug, she could use that as an argument, that I only did this, I only sold it to my husband, or gave it to him as a gift to give him some pleasure. Halacha Yudches, 18, Ketzad, how so? Ha'isha shemachra onas l'labayla minichsei tzom barzel, bein karka, bein metaltalin, o sada sheyich lo biksubasa, o sada shekasa lo biksubasa, o sada sheyichnus lo shum mishalo, lo kanabaylo. If a woman sells or gives some of her iron sheep property to her husband, whether it's real estate or movables, or a field assigned by him to his wife for the purpose of her ksuba, or a field designated in the ksuba as hers, or a field of his own whose assessed value he had assigned to her, in any of these cases, if the wife sells this to her husband, or gives it to her husband, he does not acquire title to it. Even if the sale was voluntarily validated by the woman with a formal act of barter, she did it in a formal way by use of what is called a kinyan, she may nevertheless retract it at any time she pleases. The reason for this is because the reason she made the gift or the sale was only in order to keep peace in her home. Lefichach ein lebal raya benichse ishto klal chutz menichse melug, kamosha bi'arnu. Therefore, the husband has no recourse at all to any proof as to his wife's property, except in the case of milug property, as we have explained. That means any evidence that he produces, whether it's witnesses or it's a document, proves nothing, because we assume that she really did not mean to give it to sell it to him or to give it to him. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Nichse tzom barzel she'avdu, o she'nignavu, umach l'ha'isha osam l'bayla, v'kanu mimena ba'edim, yirali she'eni yecholo lomar nachas ruach hasisi l'bayli. The Rambam introduces a law that is based on his own understanding, and that is that if I and she property that were lost or they were stolen, and the wife waives her right to this property to her husband, and this waiver was ratified in the presence of witnesses by a kinyan, a formal act that demonstrates will and consent, the Rambam says it would seem to me that then the wife may not say, I did it only in order to please my husband. In contrast to the preceding law, where if she sells her nichse tzom barzel, her ayin she property, or gives it as a gift to her husband, she then could say, I really didn't mean it, I only did it to preserve the peace in the home. In this case, she cannot say that. And the Rambam justifies his own ruling on the following rational grounds. Holamazed dome, l'misha kanu miyada, she'en lo achrayis, she'hechzira nechasim elu nichse miluk. To what can this be compared, the Rambam asks. This can be compared to the wife who declares that she is not entitled to the liability for I and she property, because she has changed it into miluk property. And she confirms this declaration by a symbolic act, by a kinyan. In other words, what she's done over here is she's transformed the status of this property from ayin she property, that is the type of property that she doesn't have responsibility for, the husband has, to maluk property, which becomes her sole responsibility, which we learned before, she has the right to give it or sell it to her husband, and she cannot say, I did it only to please him. Shaharei ein habal mevi raya litol klum lo laharzik b'nechasim elo lehipotem b'tviyasa m'lishalim. In this case, the husband need not bring proof in order to recover anything, nor in order to retain any property, but only in order to be exempt from her demand for payment. Since the husband is not being asked to prove that she owes him anything, and therefore he would be taking something from her, here it's a question of not having to pay for the loss or the theft of this property. Therefore, we do consider the fact that she waived her rights to it sufficient in this regard, and the husband does not have to pay. Aval im naslum matana mitaltalei tzom barzel hakiyamin lo kana, b'pnei sheyesh lo lomar nachas ruach hasisi l'bayli. If, however, she gives him movables out of iron sheet property that does exist now, he can't acquire title to them, because she can always claim, as we said before, I did it only to please my husband, but not really sincerely out of a desire to sell it to him. Halacha Chav, paragraph 20. Baal shemacha karka leperos, lo asa klum, mipnei shelo hiskino peros leish, ela kadei leharviach b'hotzaas habayis. If the husband sells the fruit of his wife's estate, the act of sale is invalid, because the purpose of the enactment, granting the husband the fruits of his wife's land, is to provide additional means for household expenses. But here he's selling the fruit that is not going to help in providing additional household needs. And therefore, the rabbis did not enact that he should be entitled to these fruits. Lefichach, imacha laperos, v'lakach osan hamaz l'schora, shomin lo. Therefore, if he sells the fruits and uses the money in trade, in business, then we do respect his act, because then it will provide the house with more of its needs. Halacha Chafal, paragraph 21. If ואם נכסה מלוקהם, בין שכניסה אוסם לו, בין שנפלו לו בירושה, או ניתן לו במתנה, או נפלו לו מטלטלין, או נסנו לו, הרי אלו ימחרו, וילקח בהם קרקע, והוא אוכל פרסיהם. If the wife has money, the rule is as follows. If they are iron sheet property, the husband may use them in trade. If they are maluk property, whether brought by her to him, or inherited by her, or given to her, or if she has inherited or was given movables, they should be used, or in the case of movables, they should be sold, and the proceeds used to purchase land, the fruit of which will be the husband's. In the case of the money, which is iron sheet property, he has the right to do business with it, because that's the whole idea of iron sheet property, that he is the one who is going to either gain from the appreciation, from the profits, or he will lose from it. However, if it's only nichsi malug, where he doesn't take responsibility for it, and they are totally in the possession of the wife, and if anything happens to it, it's her loss, then we don't let him do business with it, because then he might destroy the principal. That's why we use it to buy real estate, so that the principal will remain intact, and he will benefit from the fruits. The same law would apply to a woman who was injured by others. All the money that is fit to give her to pay for the injury should be used to purchase real estate, and the husband will eat fruit from it, as will be explained in the laws of injuries. Chav Gimel 23. If she comes into possession of slaves, even though they're old and they're no longer functional, she should not sell them because of the pride or the honor of her father's house, that these slaves should be part of and remain part of her father's household. If she comes into possession of olive trees or vine, grapevines, but she doesn't have any right to the land, just the trees, so if they provide enough to pay for the expenses, they should not be sold because of the honor of her father's house. And if not, then they should be sold to be used for wood, and then you use the proceeds to buy real estate, and the husband will eat the fruits from it. Chavdal 24. If she comes into possession of fruits that are attached to the ground, they belong to the husband. If they're detached from the ground, they belong to her, and they sell the fruits, and they purchase land with it, and the husband eats the fruits of that land. However, if the husband divorces his wife, and at the time of the divorce, there was fruit attached to the ground, they belong to her. And if they were detached, the husband has the rights to them. Chav Hei 25. The servants that belong to Maluk property and the animals of Maluk property, the husband is obligated to provide their food and all of their needs. And they in turn have to work for him, and he eats the fruits and benefits from their work. Therefore, the offspring of the maidservant of Maluk property belongs to the husband, and likewise, the offspring of an animal of Maluk property belongs to the husband. And if the husband divorces her, and the wife wants to give money so she can take the maidservant, the offspring of the maidservant, because of the honor of her father's household, we do honor her request. Chavav 26. If the woman introduces into the marriage two utensils or two maidservants as iron sheet property, in which the husband takes responsibility for it, any profit goes to him, and they assess the value of it for 1,000 zuz, now they appreciate it, now they worth 2,000 zuz. She takes one of the two items for the principal, the 1,000 zuz that she is entitled to, and the second one, if she wants to pay for it because of the honor of her father's household to keep these items, we do honor her request. Chav Zayin. Hanosu matana liishto bein shenosu lekarka bein shenosu lemoiz v'lochem hen karka ein lebal peres matana zu. V'chein hanosu matana liishto manash lo yiha bal ochel peres seho ele yu peres seho liishto lemashu tirtza ein bal ochel peres matana zu. V'chein hamacheres ksubasa batobus hanoa osu madamu liishto vein ha bal ochel peres seho. If a man makes a gift to his wife, whether he gives her land or money with which he purchases land, the husband is entitled to know fruits of this gift. Similarly, if a third person makes a gift to a woman with the understanding that her husband is to have no right of fruits thereof, and that she herself is to use it for the income from it as she pleases, the husband is entitled to no fruit of this gift. Thus also, if the woman sells her silver for goodwill benefit, the money realized belongs to her, and the husband has no fruit of it. Chavches. Vlad behemets malug shenigna benimtza hagana v'shilim shnayim hakeifel le'isha sheinza pri shetikim lochachamim chova b'ishta kolonezik batzar b'aboshe shalo v'ein abal ocha peres k'mo shizvor b'hilchas chovel. If the offspring of a malug beast is stolen and the thief is found and made to pay double, the excess belongs to the woman, because it does not constitute the fruit in the sense in which the enactment of the sages has entitled the husband thereto. If a third person injures his wife, all compensation due for damage, pain, and humiliation belongs to her, and the husband has no fruit thereof, as shall be explained in the laws concerning damages. Chavtes. If a man sells land to his wife, the rule is as follows. If the husband had been aware of the money with which he purchased the land from him, and had known about it, she acquires title to the land, and the husband has the fruit of the land. If the money was kept secret, she does not acquire title, because the husband may say, I sold it merely in order to bring into the open the money that she was hiding. The money thus revealed should be used to purchase land, and the husband will have the rights to the fruit of this land. Lamed Hareshim to Mars Metalton Biar Isha, he omens Pamontan Nitali, who omens Yadahim Shahim Shali, Harizun Menes, Vishal Hakim, Mamisha to Enes Dabash in a cane, Yloka Ben Karkov, who offer Paris, Vim Amramanas, Kane Nitali, Omanashali, Yila by Little Shusbam, Les, Ben Kamasha Erza, Olela of Yirai, Shakom, Mamisha Nims, Yaha Isha, the Heskas Abal, who she offer Perosov, Achitavira. If money or movables are found in the wife's possession, and if she says, they were given to me as a gift, while the husband says, they are proceeds of your handiwork, and they are therefore mine, it is she who is to be believed. He may, however, pronounce a ban upon any woman who claims something that is not true. Land should then be purchased with this money, and he will have the rights of the fruit of this land. If she says, they were given to me with the understanding that my husband is to have no control over them, and that I am to do with them as I please, the burden of proof is upon her, because all money found in the wife's possession is presumed to be subject to her husband's right of eating the fruit of the property until she brings proof to the contrary. She says to him, you gave it to me as a gift. She must swear an informal oath that the husband had indeed given it to her, and the husband is then not entitled to eating the fruit of this land. No bailments, that is, articles to watch, may be accepted from women, slaves, or minors. If one transgresses and accepts a bailment from a woman, he must return it to her. But if she dies, he must return it to her husband. If one accepts it from a slave, he must return it to him. And if he dies, he must return it to his master. If one accepts it from a minor, he should purchase therewith a scroll of the Torah for him, or an article he can enjoy. And if any of these persons says, at the time of his death, this bailment belongs to so-and-so, the rule is as follows. If the bailee holding this bailment presumes him to have been a trustworthy person, he should do as the bailor has commanded. If not, he should return the bailment to the bailor's heir. Lamed Gimel. If the wife has money subject to the husband's right of eating the fruits of it, and if the husband says, this and this object should be purchased with them, while she says, I will purchase only that and that object, such property should be purchased as would produce most income and require least upkeep, whether it is what he wanted or what she wanted. Now the property purchased should be something that trunk of which constantly produces new shoots, lest he should use all of it up, thus causing the loss of the principal as well. Lamed Dalet. If a woman brings to her husband a goat for milking, a goat for shearing, or a date tree for its fruit, he may continue to enjoy their yield until the principal is exhausted, even though she owns only the yield of these. Similarly, if she brings him furnishings as maluk property, he may make use of them for clothing, bedspread, or bread cover, until the principal is exhausted. If he divorces her, he is not liable for the wear and tear of such maluk property. Lamed hey. Hodor ha-gaonim shenichetzon barza afa fish pechisasim al ha-bal im hoya ha-bloiz chayavim v'hoya osam e'en malachtam noteles keleha kama shehem im lo hoya osam e'en malachtam harehem kama shenigrevu ayovdu shu chayiv l'shalim bedmeim shishama osam olo b'shas nisuin.
ומינג פשט הוא זה, וכל הנושא, ומינג זה, קיבלו אולו וחייץ הנדוניה. כשם שאינו משלם הפחס, ככה אינו נוטל, ששבח, הם מסירו דמיים לפי מינג זה. יש לבעל לוחף מקצס עבדי איש לבעל מוסה, שיהיו משם שנעשו בבייס איש האחרת שנעשה, בין שהי עבדי מלוג, בין שהי עבדי צום ברזבו. אין יוכל להוליכם לעיר אחרת שלא מדס איש. The Gaonim have taught that in the case of iron sheet property, even though the husband is liable for its depreciation, nevertheless, if the articles, though worn out, are still extant, and are still capable of performing a function similar to their original one, the wife must accept them as they are. If they are no longer capable of functioning in any way similar to the original manner, they have the same status as articles that have been stolen or lost, which the husband is obligated to pay their value as assessed at the time of the marriage. This is a widespread custom, and whosoever marries takes upon himself the liability for the dowry in accordance with this custom. And just as he is not obligated according to this custom, to pay compensation for depreciation, so is he not entitled to depreciation if the dowry rises in value. The husband may compel some of his wife's slaves and bondswomen to serve him in the house of another wife whom he had married, whether they constitute malug property or iron sheet property. He may not, however, take them to another city without his wife's consent. With this, the Rambam concludes the 35th halacha of the 22nd chapter of the laws concerning marriage, Hilchos Ishus.